Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. I'm going to have to cover the plants again, I guess. 27 degrees they're expecting on overnight on Wednesday. So this would only be the second time of the season having to cover the plants. That's not too bad. It's Monday, the final day of January the 31st, 2022. Now in our 12th year here with the Radio Project, 34 years on TV and radio in town, the Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com, that 24/7 service. The live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is our title sponsor for our Monday political face-off. Moe's, famous for their custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and that means Mo will come out to the house, make sure everything gets up on the wall the way you want it. And they're doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. They're right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. The Monday political face-off features John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for governor in 2010, former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona. John seated to my right and Jeff Rogers to my left, also a well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
You know, it was a pretty nice weekend. It was a little cool and breezy.
I thought so. I thought Saturday was really windy.
Yeah, if you bundled up, then it was good. And those are the kind of days that make your old horses feel like a 2-year-old.
Boy, they do like that when it's cool and brisk. The horses,
they like it.
Oh, they love it.
Really, they don't mind the wind or anything.
Well, the.
Jeez.
They like it
they
when
get
it's
excited.
Cool.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. So they're ready to ride.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, my horse is, on a day like that, I have to turn him loose first and get a little of that buck out.
Well, and you have to be careful of plastic bags being blown in front of you. That's dangerous. That scares the heck out of horses.
John, did you watch any of the playoffs?
I did. I watched the...
Cincinnati
game, and I didn't care which team won. I thought the Chiefs would win. But Cincinnati, they both played very well. But Cincinnati came back big time.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with them. So,
I think we just witnessed probably the two best back-to-back weekends of NFL football
that you've seen in your lifetime.
NFL,
yeah.
That's certainly right. In my lifetime. Yeah.
And they've all been won by 3 points, I think.
Yeah, they've all been close. Really, really good games. I was hoping for the Niners. I've got a history of the Bay Area working up there for 8 years, and so I was hoping San Francisco would put it together. But LA just, you know what, they bought that quarterback for a lot of money, and it paid off, right?
Yep.
The LA Rams?
Yep.
Okay, guys, let's start local. Arizona Republicans up at the legislature have introduced a bill that would impose significant new voting restrictions. The thing that's got a lot of people concerned, Jeff and John, is this bill that would allow the state legislature could actually reject, Jeff Rogers, election results.
Yeah, I don't think that's going anywhere. There's enough sober Republicans up there to keep that from happening. We only need maybe one or two in one of the houses to stop that kind of bill. So I just think smarter heads are going to prevail, and Republicans are not going to go down that path. I'm more worried about some of the other ones that there's some crazy ones up there. On one of them, it said they have a bill in there to ban same day voter registration. Well, guess what? We don't have that. It's like, you're going to ban something that's already banned. They've got one to ban ballot drop boxes. That's a real big problem for the Indian reservations, because you have to go so far to get to a polling place that these drop boxes are kind of essential to maintain their vote. They're going to try to attempt to ban all male voting of school board races and city races. And that has been a real cost saver for the city of Tucson and for TUSD and other districts. And I think there's a sense in which I kind of believe these Republicans need to start listening to Republican voters, because things like mail-in ballots, Republican voters enjoy those as much as Democrats do. And I think you find a very slight percentage more of Republicans vote on Election Day than do mail-in ballots. But we're now up to 85% of the people voting with mail-in ballots. And so you're not just threatening, you know, people who are, you know, marginal voters that the Republicans would like to keep from voting. They're threatening their own voters. There's a lot of elderly people who want to stay home, fill out their ballot at home, and mail it in or drop it off at a drop box somewhere.
So you're saying time should be spent on other things rather than
absolutely.
These so-called election.
We have some of the best election processes in Arizona of any state, and there's never been a hint of any kind of fraud or problems with our voting processes.
How about this guy, John, that wants to...
Oh, he's a fringe guy.
Nullify all the elections.
Jeff's right. That's not going... you know, the right, you know... The legislature doesn't have the right to nullify elections. That's just crazy. Nobody's going to vote.
Crazy talk.
Jeff is right. The Republicans aren't going to do that. And they'll parse through whatever all these different bills are, but they're not going to do that. Nobody wants that. I would be astounded and very, very upset if that went anywhere. I don't even think it'll get through a committee.
What about mail-in voting, John?
Well, I'm in favor of mail-in voting. We've had mail-in voting forever.
One of the earliest states to have it.
Well, I want to make it clear, okay. Jeff, this bill that Jeff's talking about doesn't ban mail-in voting generally, only for county
school board elections.
And local elections. And, you know, they'll discuss that, but that's not a threat to, you know, general elections. I don't know the pros and cons of that particular bill, but it's not a threat to mail-in ballots for regular elections, general elections at all.
Right.
And so that's not at risk.
And some of the earliest adopters of the all-mail vote in elections were places that are Republican bastions like Marana, Oro Valley, I mean, you Sowarita. I mean, these were some of the earliest places to adopt it. So, you know, once again, I don't think some of these people are thinking this all the way through. They're going to harm their own voters.
I'm not even sure. I don't think that's probably going anywhere. I would vote against it if I were in the legislature. I would say that ought to be determined by the local districts.
Each local jurisdiction should make that decision.
Each local jurisdiction should make the decision. I don't think the state ought to step in.
And it is a cost savings that Jeff points out.
Yeah, but you know, it's all hypothetical right now. So I don't think it's going very far.
All right. Before we talk about Ukraine and this, I'd rather do the break and then we'll come back, because that's a huge issue, what's going to happen, how the United States should respond to Ukraine. John, it's time to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, and you shared with me that since we last saw you, you've been up to Mona's twice now. What was your experience like up there at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise?
Well, I took my wife up there, and... we had a great time. She just loved it. We had the quiche.
Mm-hmm.
She had one of their brownies. I had on both occasions the quiche and the raspberry tart. And let me tell you, those things are to die for. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're raspberry tarts with chocolate on them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. They're so good. And they're not heavy. They're light.
So you had the feta quiche. The feta cheese quiche, do you remember which one it was?
No, it wasn't feta cheese, it was a ham quiche.
Oh, the ham and cheese quiche.
That
I love that one.
Really good. Oh. So we really like going to Mona's.
Mm-hmm.
Always have, but
yeah.
But we did it twice in the last week and a half.
And Jeff, what about you?
Oh, I think the place is delicious. Every time I go to the hardware store, I can't help but wander over next door and come home with some sweets. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's quite delicious.
And the word is out about Mona's. We were up there for our Sunday breakfast yesterday. Steady stream of folks coming in for the last, well, we were there for about an hour and just steady stream. Steve is very pleased, the owner and chief baker, the way things are going for Mona's. They're they're off Monday. Well-deserved day off. They'll be open. And people, Steve was telling me, John and Jeff, that 6:30 in the morning, people are outside waiting to get in for their pastries, for their pastries and coffee. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back with Jeff and John.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're conveniently located central town, midtown location, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com for all of the e-commerce. Jeff Rogers with me and John Munger for our Monday Political Face-Off. Coming up at 12:35 today, University of Arizona President Robert Robbins will be joining us. John, the Russia is willing to go to war and incur sanctions over the Ukraine. That's what defense analysts are saying today. Bob Mendez, the chair of the U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, says that the lawmakers now are devising what he calls the mother of all sanctions against Russia. My goodness, John and Jeff, we don't want a land war, the first land war in Europe since the end of World War II. That's the scary part.
Well, this won't be the first land war. The Russians did it earlier in the Crimea.
In 2014, right?
Yeah.
Right. They also invaded Georgia.
Okay. And they invaded.
But when I say that, kind of big, like a big, big European land war.
The Russians, look, I'm glad that they're talking about the most severe sanctions that they can imagine. We need to do that. You mentioned in a break that some conservatives are saying, oh, we shouldn't.
Yes, Tucker Carlson.
And I'm a big fan of Tucker Carlson, but
he says there's no way we should be doing any backing of Ukraine.
He's wrong about that. And most Republicans, look, would agree with me. We can't become isolationist again.
America first?
America first is not isolationist, Bill.
Okay.
Has been.
Well,
no, it never. That's
what that, about before World War II?
Oh, you're talking America first. You're talking Trump.
Well, I'm talking kind of before World War II. There was the America First movement.
Yeah, there
anyway,
was.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah,
I wasn't necessarily talking even about Trump.
No, I'm not an isolationist. Neither am I in favor of going into every war that exists. That was my big problem with John McCain. There wasn't a war out there that he didn't want to fight. And there's still a few of those out there. Liz Cheney is one of them. But we've got to use judgment. We don't want to be involved in the fight. We are providing weapons. We need to do that. We need to sanction the hell out of the Russians in every way we can sanction them. And do everything we can to support the Ukrainians without putting boots in the ground. We need to put more amongst the sanctions we can do. We need to put more troops in Eastern Europe under NATO, more missiles, and let him know that if he wants to play hardball, we'll play hardball.
You're big now. You're saying you want to go all in on this.
On the sanctions, not on troops on the ground.
All right,
Jeff,
what do you think?
Well, I was reading an article this morning, I think it was in Time magazine, about a foreign policy expert who had some really interesting advice. You know, we first got this big hammer we can drop on them, and it's called the SWIFT Global Electronic Payment System.
Yes.
And that's what allows for exchanges between nations and countries and wealthy individuals.
It's called what now?
SWIFT. The SWIFT system.
It's based in Belgium, and it's a way for banks and wealthy investors and countries to clear money throughout the world.
It basically controls the wiring system for money.
Exactly.
Wow.
And so what happened was, well, we used this against Iran, and it brought their economy to its knees.
Really?
It just brought it to its knees and virtually destroyed their economy. We could do the same thing to Russia. However, some people are saying this is too big of a hammer, that we ought to do things a little more gradually. And we've got this thing passed called the Magnitsky Act, which was passed some dozen or so years ago to punish wealthy oligarchs. And so this guy suggests that what would work was say, we're going to pick 50 of these oligarchs, and we're going to do 5 of them right now, and we're going to shut them off from access to travel and access to financial institutions worldwide. Because many people think that Putin is the wealthiest man in the world, and that he's distributed his money, you know, to be held by these oligarchs, because that sort of protects him.
Like in Belarus?
Yes,
to the
exactly.
north of Ukraine?
They've suggested that we start, you know, sanctioning these using the Magnitsky Act, and we can do that unilaterally. We don't need the help of other countries to do that. So I'm all in with John. You know, the heavier sanctions you can bring, and maybe we just hit them with, and I think maybe one mistake we're making right now is not instituting some sanctions before something happens.
I agree with that.
Know, we need to say, okay, let's give you a little taste of what's going to happen, and here's your first taste, and more's coming. And if you cross that border and start a bloody war, we're hitting you with everything we've got.
I agree. We need to let them have a taste of it in advance. Jeff and I are on the exact same page. We need them to hit them with the Magnitsky Act and the a taste of the sanctions.
And you know what they'll do to us? They'll do cyber.
They're doing that already, Bill.
Okay.
And we'll just do it right back to them. Look, Russia's a puny state. Russia
economically, he's right. They're, I mean, they're a large landmass, but they, you know, their economy is one tenth the size of ours.
Yeah, Russia's economy is the size of the of California.
What?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
they've got nothing.
What,
they've got
about
a huge,
the oil and gas.
Well, they've got oil and gas. The
that,
problem.
That
one of the things we should do is we should start drilling for our own oil and gas. There's no reason that we've cut off our oil and gas here in this country. Under Trump, we were exporting oil. We had more oil than we knew what to do with, and we're exporting oil, and Biden has stopped that. And we are now dependent once again on Russia and the Middle East, and we are having to buy our oil from Russia and the Middle East. We're completely dependent upon them to have enough oil. And that is absolutely ridiculous. That's another thing we should do is start cranking out our own oil. I'm all for green energy, but you can't do everything like green energy all at once. You've got to work into it slowly. And what Biden's trying to do is go directly to green energy by cutting off oil in the our own oil. It's not working.
You're
and it's making
the transition needed to be there.
We needed a transition, instead we're now dependent again on OPEC and the Russians and we for oil, and we don't need to be. If you want to hit Russia, you hit Russia with its one big product, oil, and you start lowering the prices of oil because we're producing more oil, as much oil as the Russians do. And that will reduce the price of oil. That's one big way to really hit the Russians, is reduce the price of oil.
Well, here's one of the problems we have with oil and gas. First off, we don't get any natural gas or oil from Russia. And we are almost self-sufficient right now in oil and gas production. But the biggest problem we've got is that it puts us a little at odds with our allies, particularly the most important ally against Russia is Germany. And Germany gets a lot of natural gas and oil from Russia, and they've even got this new pipeline, I can't remember what the name is.
Nord Stream 2.
And that's where you can hurt Russia, but we need the help of our allies to do that, and we may need to step up not only our production, but the production in the Middle East in order to help the European countries be able to deal with any cutoff of natural gas. Because not only would that hurt Russia in their accounts payable, but it would also hurt our European allies. So it's a very delicate dance that America is doing right now with our European allies in NATO, and we need them. And so far, Great Britain has been solid, France has been solid, Germany's been pretty solid, but not quite as solid as they could be. And so we've got to rally these allies, and we can't do it all by ourselves.
Yeah, but we can start. Look, Russia has one big product, oil. They're completely dependent upon high oil prices. You start producing more oil here in the United States, and we can produce easily a surplus, and start lowering the oil prices around the world. Because it's fungible. Okay, we may not buy from Russia, but we're buying from somebody else, and somebody else is buying from Russia. And you start lowering those oil prices, and Russia's finances and economy is going to collapse. That's
pretty much already has.
Well, you're talking about sanctions, Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, we can do more harm to them.
If you want to hurt them. We need to quit playing softball with these people. They're a bunch of thugs.
We had a Richard sent me an email. He says, have we encroached on the Russian border? Are we threatening them in any way?
No.
Oh, absolutely not.
No.
He also says the Russians could easily destroy us.
That he's other than nuclear weapons, but no.
I think the doctrine was called the mutually assured destruction doctrine.
No.
Back in
they're
the
not going
Cold
there.
War.
The Russians, look, the Russians are angry because NATO has absorbed some of these Eastern European countries like Estonia and Lithuania that were subject to the Russian power. And the Russians can no longer go into those countries because they're protected by NATO. And the what the Russians are afraid of, and the main thing they're asking, is that Ukraine not be a member of NATO. That's the main thing they want. Why is that? Because they know they're trying to rebuild the Soviet Empire. And Ukraine was a big player in the Soviet Empire. It was a major part of the Soviet Union. And the Russians are concerned about NATO. The Russians don't have the economic might or the industrial power to take on NATO. They just don't.
Jeff?
And they know it.
Yeah, I agree with John on that. Many people are saying this is the Russian equivalent of Wag the Dog, that Putin is so unpopular and their economy's in shambles and their COVID response has been horrible that he's basically, you know, starting this military incursion to basically drum up support of the Russian people.
I agree with that.
All right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com proudly presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Our thanks to two horsemen, Jeff Rogers and John Munger, for our face-off today. Up next, University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins, right after we take the break.
CBS News Brief. The FDA says it has fully approved the first two shots of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for those 18 and above. CBS's Alexander Tin.
The FDA says it has fully approved the first two shots of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, branded as Spikevax, following a careful review of the safety, efficacy, and manufacturing of Moderna's first two doses for adults.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. has prepared sanctions targeting Russian elites if the Kremlin advances troops into Ukraine.
The individuals we've identified are in or near the inner circle of the Kremlin and play a role in government decision-making, or at a minimum, complicit in the Kremlin's destabilizing behavior.
At least six historically black universities in five states and Washington, D.C. are responding to bomb threats. Many have locked down their campuses for a time. In a warning to students, school officials say some of the threats were directed at academic buildings. Howard University has given the all clear. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland's One and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this final day of January 2022. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. One of the wonderful things about Green Things over at 3384 East River Road, the very knowledgeable staff over there. And if you have any questions when you're over there today at Green Things or tomorrow before this freeze that's coming, could be a hard freeze down to 27. This is when you want some great advice about what does need to be covered and which plants could withstand some a night or two of some really cold weather. This is where that expertise at Green Things really comes in handy. They're in their 51st year over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Beautiful 13-acre site. Open every day. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. Their sister business on the site is Zocalo Village. Their website, zocalovillage.com. At a special meeting of the Board of Regents, the University of Arizona announced plans to fully integrate the University of Arizona Global Campus. That's that nonprofit online school formerly known as the for-profit Ashford University, into operation with the University of Arizona. It's been more than a year now since the University of Arizona did acquire Ashford, which has a long and checkered history, and some contend, and they allege a practice of deceiving prospective students and graduating a relatively small number of them. Let's welcome now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Dr. Robert Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona. Dr. Robbins, good to circle back and check in with you again, sir.
Hey, Bill, thanks for having me on your program. Long time since I've talked to you, and always a pleasure to share some time with you.
Why? Let's get right into this situation with the University of Arizona Global Campus. Why the timing now on integrating this campus into the U of A?
Yeah, you know, it was always our intention once we signed the agreement to acquire Ashford and turn it into University of Arizona Global Campus. And we had a three-year time horizon for bringing Global Campus into the university. In late November, the Department of Education reached out, and we, the University of Arizona, working with the Department of Education, decided to begin the process now of officially bringing UAGC into the University of Arizona. Right now, UAGC is a separate university, has its own board, and is accredited by WASC, the accrediting agency. We have our own board, the Board of Regents, and we're accredited by Higher Learning Commission, but we have an affiliation agreement with UAGC. Now we're just starting this process by discussing how we would start to transition those students from UAGC into the University of Arizona and abolishing their board and enrolling all of their operations into the University of Arizona, with the Arizona Board of Regents being the ultimate governing body over all of these students.
Now, I understand you're going to be addressing the Faculty Senate this afternoon, President Robbins, on this.
Yeah.
You're going to get an earful, and I think you know that there are some folks over in the faculty that really are almost incensed, are incensed. They're worried about that this by this troubled for-profit university is going to bring the reputation of the University of Arizona down. How do you respond to that?
Well, we've been involved with them for over a year, and I would say that we have a joint academic collaboration effort with some of our professors and deans, with the leadership and deans and professors at UAGC. And Newsweek came out for the first time, Bill, with a ranking of online programs. I think ASU was something like 12 and we were 14. In U.S. News and World Report, ASU 6 and we're 7. We kind of got a slow start into this online business. But the point about this new ranking system for online programs by Newsweek is that UAGC had never been ranked before, and they came in ranked at, I think, number 131 in the country. So it's been an improvement in the quality of the education that these students are getting. We knew it was going to take some effort, and we just think that now with this partnership with the Department of Education, it's better for the students if we go ahead and bring them solely into the University of Arizona, so that you know, they're going to become part of being Wildcats for life. And we think it's going to be something that they will respond well to. We already know that. I mean, they have their own commencement ceremony. They've ask us if they can do that on our campus even before we get them totally integrated. And I think that this idea that it's hurt the reputation of the university, we're, you know, one of the top 50 public universities in the country, top 100 overall university. Our fundraising is up, the largest class we've ever had, the most diverse class. Our research expenditures continue to go up. So by every objective measure you can think of, the reputation of the University of Arizona is only growing. We may even win a couple of football games this year. We won one last year. We had a great recruiting class. So I think things are going quite well, and I just don't understand how by going in and providing these students with a high-class, quality education is a bad thing to do. It's right in the sweet spot of our mission as a land grant university, and I'm very committed to it. I have conviction this is the right thing to do for these students, and we're going to go forward with it.
I just wanted to ask you about the parent company of Ashford being sued, Zovio. What kind of liability is this? Is this going to open the door to more liability for the university and the border regions?
Zero.
Zero.
That case has ended in a court in California, and there was some question that the judge made it very clear that this suit is about Zovio. Has nothing to do with UAGC and certainly has nothing to do with the University of Arizona. So we've acquired the assets, but not the liabilities.
You know, talking generally about online education, if the University of Arizona hadn't gone this way to kind of beef up online, would this have put the university at a disadvantage going forward, Dr. Robbins?
I don't think it would have been a disadvantage because Dr. Craig Wilson, who heads our online operation here, has done a tremendous job at growing the program and certainly increasing the quality and hence that number 7 in the nation ranking out of really being unranked in the last couple of years. So he's made tremendous progress. I just think that it's a different category of student that UAGC has traditionally provided services to, and that's generally the working adults that oftentimes they may have started college or maybe not even gone to college at all, and they're working and they realize that in order to advance in their company or their position, they need to get a college degree. And so that's primarily what UAGC, the segment of the population that they've been serving. And we think that's a beautiful thing to give everybody, no matter where they come from, what circumstance their life is in, to give them an opportunity, just like the students that are the more traditional students who choose to come and be residential students at the University of Arizona. There's room for everyone to share in acquiring knowledge and getting a degree. So we think this is really important, and it certainly, as I say, right in the sweet spot of our mission as a land-grant university.
All right, Dr. Robbins, stick around. I want to talk and get an update on how we are doing at the University of Arizona in the fight against COVID. But right now, we'll take a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Robbins right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with The Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of recreation ideas. Silver City is only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area, and we send so many of our listeners over to this beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Lots of hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, lots of outdoor activities, and some great places to stay as well. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go back on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, and we welcome back for the second portion of our interview the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Robert Robbins. President Robbins, how is it looking with COVID? The numbers kind of appear statewide that we are now have peaked as far as COVID is concerned. What's the situation on campus?
Yeah, Bill, it's about the same on campus. You know, we saw our highest numbers ever just a couple of weeks ago. We had been in the 2-3% range the entire time of the pandemic, and we got up into the 10-15% range. So we're now back down in the single digits at around 7% positive tests. So we think that the peak is over for this particular variant, but it doesn't mean there's not another one around the corner. We didn't see Omicron coming. We really didn't see Delta coming when it happened. So my hope is that, you know, if you look back at the 1918 pandemic, it took about 2 years or so to get everybody around the world exposed to that virus. And I think the same thing is true here. And at least all the experts are telling me that, you know, by the summertime, we should be through this particular variant. And certainly it's, if you look at the East Coast, it peaked fast and it came down really fast. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in southern Arizona.
The strategy that you implemented with the help of Dr. Carmona, who was my guest last week, last Thursday on here on the program, that it's hard to believe all of that. Well, the anniversary would be two years in late February and March. What have we learned? What did you learn as a healthcare professional, Dr. Robbins, about this?
Well, I think, you know, the same thing we had learned from looking back at history and all the things that Dr. Carmona and I learned in our medical training, that, you know, this is a respiratorily spread virus, and that there's clear evidence that the mask can help, that staying, you know, socially distanced, because the way it spreads is through respiratory droplets. If you sneeze, if you cough, or if you talk and have small respiratory or even saliva droplets get to another person, that's how you get infected. So we know the mechanism for how it's transmitted. What I've learned is that you know, we need to have good policies and procedures in place. And we know what they are in terms of washing your hands frequently, staying away from as many people as possible, and covering your face if you're indoors and you can't be socially distanced, and that vaccines absolutely save lives. Now, I've also learned that this is a very divisive and not universally held belief that all of these things matter. So, you know, you have to deal with the reality of that. But I would say for the most part at the university, over 85% of people are vaccinated. We've had good adherence to our masking policy, except for, you know, early on the men's basketball games. There were certainly a lot of people who didn't want to keep their mask on during the game. But certainly in the classrooms, we've had good adherence to our guidelines and requirements. So, you know, I think that this is not going to be the last respiratory virus that we're going to see. We see the flu every year, and I think that we'll continue to see these viruses in the population, and we'll be better equipped certainly in our universities to be able to handle this. But it's been tough. It's been tough to get people to adhere and believe the science. But that's the beauty of living in a society where we have freedom and freedom of choice to make decisions for ourselves.
The Board of Regents put a lot of projects on hold 2 years ago at the onset of COVID. Is there a feeling now that maybe getting back on track by the middle of the year into the new fiscal year, Dr. Robbins?
Absolutely. I think, all three of our state universities have been in lockstep with how we've addressed coming back to classes in the spring semester. And we all decided that we were going to do our best to have these mitigation provisions in place, but that we would come back in person. And one of the things that I had used as a barometer for how we were doing is how many of our students were in isolation dorms, and did we have capacity to isolate and segregate them away from those people that weren't infected. And we certainly, I think at the peak last year, we had like 400 individuals in isolation dorms. And I think we got up to about 75 or 80 just a couple of weeks ago. So we're feeling confident that the worst in terms of the infections and people into isolation dorms are behind us for this particular variant. But I think we have to be vigilant and be on the watch out for what's the next one and not let our guard down. I would also say, Bill, that, because there's so many people that have been vaccinated in the university community, the illnesses that we've seen have been a lot milder than individuals that did not get the vaccine, who represent most of the people who are in our hospitals.
And a sports question for you, and I'm sure you will welcome this in the remaining minute or so. How does a football team, a football program that's won only one game in two seasons, get what is considered to be one of the best recruiting classes in the United States?
Yeah, I think it's a testament to the message and the culture that Coach Fish and his incredible coaching staff have put together. And it's a strange time with the transfer portal and all the NIL and all of the things that universities have to offer these young men who are looking for a place to play football. So I think it's a belief that that there's something special going on here at the University of Arizona in our football program. And they bought into it. They want to be part of that first recruiting class that Coach Fish is putting together. And look back maybe at the end of their time at the University of Arizona, and who knows, maybe a Pac-12 championship and a trip to the Rose Bowl. That'd be pretty special. So I think Coach Fish, if he'd have stayed at the New England Patriots, it was in his contract that if Josh McDaniel ever left, he was going to be the offensive coordinator. And that happened with Josh McDaniel going to the Raiders. So I can tell you that Coach Fish would not want to be anywhere but right where he is right now, even being the offensive coordinator at the New England Patriots. His passion has always been in college. And I think we're just tremendous. It's tremendous for us, a blessing for us to have Coach Fish.
All right, Dr. Robbins, always appreciate our visits, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dr. Robert Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, bringing us up to date on the situation with the Global University and the situation with COVID-19 on campus. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Robbins and John on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Coming up next, we have Dave Ramsey and the very popular Ramsey Show talking about your money and making that budget really work for you. Back with you in about 23 hours. Have a great day.